الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, today is the 6th of Dhul Qa'dah, 1433, which corresponds to the 21st of September 2012. It's a Friday morning at the Jeddah Da'wah Center, and we are really towards the end of Surah An-Nisa, which is one of the surah of the Quran that is full of ahkam and rulings pertaining to inheritance and pertaining to the rights of women and so on and so forth. Therefore, it's called Surah An-Nisa, the chapter of women. We were discussing in our last session some of the matters pertaining to the Christians and the the criticism and the reprimand from Allah Azza wa Jal to them regarding their extremism in their religion and exaggeration in their belief and claiming things which Allah Azza wa Jal did not legislate nor did He allow. Namely, giving Jesus the divine attributes of Allah or making Him co-equal with Allah alaykum salam and things of the sort. This morning we'll be dealing with an interesting ayah or a couple of ayat. Excuse me. Ayat 172-173. 172 says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لن يستنكف المسيح أن يكون عبدا لله ولا الملائكة المقربون ومن يستنكف عن عبادته ويستكبر فسيحشرهم إليه جميعا. لن يستنكف المسيح. The Messiah will never willingly avoid. How do you have the English? Does anyone have the English? Kito.
Yeah.
How did they translate yastankif?
The
Ayah 172. Read the English, please.
The Messiah.
Yeah, read the English.
The Messiah will never
the Messiah.
The Messiah will never be proud of the king. Will be his people of Allah.
Okay, enough. Jazakallah khair. So the way they put it is proud to reject. He will never be proud, too proud, or proud to reject the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nor will the that he will be a slave of Allah. Nor will the angels that are close to Allah Azza wa Jal. And whosoever is too proud to worship Him and he is arrogant, then verily Allah shall gather all of them unto Himself. The Shaykh said, لما ذكر تعالى غلو النصارى في عيسى عليه السلام وذكر أنه عبده ورسوله ذكر هنا أنه لا يستنكف عن عبادة ربه. After Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned to us the exaggerations of the Christians in regards to Jesus, peace be upon Him, or upon Him be peace, and after Allah mentioned that He is merely His slave and His messenger, Allah mentioned here that He will never be too proud to worship His Lord. أي لا يمتنع عنها رغبة عنها. He will not avoid it as in the sense of being uninterested in it. He will not avoid or he will not refrain from worship in a sense where he is uninterested in it. لا هو ولا الملائكة المقربون. Nor will he do that, nor will the angels that are close to Allah. فَنَزَّهَهُمْ عَنِ الْإِسْتِنْكَافِ. So Allah raised them and praised them above being too proud to worship. وَتَنْزِيهِمْ عَنِ الْإِسْتِكْبَارِ مِنْ بَابِ أَوْلَى. And if they are not proud to worship, then them being arrogant is something which they are free of as well. And it's more deserving. وَنَفْيُ الشَّيْءِ فِيهِ إِثْبَاتُ ضِدَّهُ. Very important principle, specifically when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah. Denying something or negating something necessitates affirming its opposite. Negating something necessitates the affirmation of its opposite. So when you say, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. No sleep, no slumberness overtakes him. Allah denied that sleep and slumberness overtakes him. Once Allah denies it, then the opposite is automatically affirmed. which is the fact that Allah is ever knowing, ever observing, ever knowledgeable, ever watchful, because there's no break in the sense as human beings will have to take a break after hours of work. You need to recuperate and refresh. And crazy enough, this is exactly how Allah is described in the Bible. Huh? In Genesis. I think it's chapter 6 verse 6 or chapter 3 verse 3. It's one of these two. It claims that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then He rested on the seventh and He was refreshed. Hey. Crazy stuff, man. What do you mean God took rested? Can you imagine? Look, God, Allah, is going to rest. Rest is a quality of who?
Creation.
Why? We have limits. This body, huh, can only do so much. You get sick, you get tired. Allah, the all-powerful. Any of these, do any of these apply to Him? Absolutely not. So how did Allah refute them in the Quran? In Surah Qaf. It's amazing, by the way. The Quran refutes the Bible in this sense. Allah Azza wa Jal explicitly said, خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And verily we have created the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them in 6 days, and no fatigue touched us. So Allah denied this human characteristic which the son of Adam has to be attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal. So in the Bible it says that God took a rest. Anyways, we say once you negate something, then the opposite is affirmed without having to mention it. أي فعيسى والملائكة المقربون قد رغبوا في عبادة ربهم وأحبوها وسعوا فيها بما يليق بأحوالهم. عجيب. So once Allah denied that they will be proud to worship Him, we understand automatically that Jesus, the son of Mary, and the angels which are close to Allah have a desire in worshiping their Lord. And they love doing it. And they strive in this regard according to their condition and abilities. So when Allah said they will never be too proud, it means they love doing it without having to mention it. Because when you negate something, then the opposite is affirmed. فأوجب لهم ذلك الشرف العظيم والفوز العظيم. So Allah necessitated for them this kind of noble and honorable position, this victory and honorable status. فلم يستنكفوا أن يكونوا عبيدا لربوبيته ولا لإلهيته. Huh. So they were never too proud to be slaves of His in regards to His rububiyyah. What does that mean? What does it mean? They were not too proud in being slaves of Him, of His, in regards to His rububiyyah. Anyone? Sleepy people in the morning. Aywa, good, sah. And yani they do not give any creation the attributes of Allah being the creator in regards to creation and arranging of affairs and being the sovereign, being the king, being the owner, being the sustainer, the provider. These are rububiyyah, Allah being the Rabb. So Jesus would never, as the Christians allege, claim that He is equal with God. Huh? Because that means that He shares with Allah the rububiyyah. The Christians further claim that Jesus will judge people on the day of judgment. Sah? Jesus Himself. So even now the Father became secondary to the primary Jesus. See, that's how the shaitan will lead someone astray. The shaitan, as Allah told us, I think it's seven different places in the Quran. Seven different places in the Quran, Allah said, لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Because shaitan has a long history and experience, huh, in misleading the son of Adam. He's not a newbie or a rookie who just came out of nowhere suddenly. La, 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 la. He has a very devised plan. So he knows that if he were to come to one of us and say, "Yani, go commit shirk," one of us will say, "Get out of my face, man. I'm not going to do it." He won't do that. He will bring you from a door of goodness. And he will slowly drag one of us, you know, enticement, 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 until he, one of us will fall into his trap. So in this regard, so much so, as I told you, this phone is never-ending fitna. Anywho, so in regards to the Christians, it began as, well, you know, Jesus is important and he was born miraculously, and so, you know, he must be special. He's not like Moses, he's not like Abraham, he has some special stuff. Huh? So the shaitan came and started to formulate something in regards to this. Huh? And then it developed, you know, with time until the year 325 and, you know, the Constantinople and the whole Nicaea Creed and all that stuff. And things started to develop until Jesus became one of the Holy Trinity. And then until now it continues to develop that for 80% of Christians, it's all about Jesus, not about Allah. In their world, you go to their church, it's going to be statues of Jesus. Whatever you go, it's about Jesus. They may include Mary in the picture, they may include some saints in the picture, but it's all about Jesus. So Jesus became more important than his father, even though they claim that he and his father are one. So, see how it goes? وَلَا لِإِلَهِيَتِهِ Nor will Jesus and the angels that are close to Allah be too proud to be slaves of Allah in regards to his ilahiyya or uluhiyya, huh? Which is his divine right of being worshipped. Yani, they will neither associate partners with Allah in terms of another creator, another sustainer, another provider, and nor will they go worship someone other than Allah, even if they affirm rububiyyah like the Quraysh. Like the kuffar of Quraysh, who affirmed the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, denied the uluhiyyah. بَلْ يَرَوْنَ افْتِقَارَهُمْ لِذَلِكَ فَوْقَ كُلِّ افْتِقَارَ Rather, they see that their dire need, their state of poverty in this regard is the ultimate state of poverty. Them being in need of Allah Azza wa Jal and being slaves of His. وَلَا يُظَنُّ أَنَّ رَفَعَ عِيسَى أَوْ غَيْرَهُ مِنَ الْخَلْقِ فَوْكَ مَرْتَبَتِهِ الَّتِي أَنْزَلَهُ اللَّهُ فِيهَا وَتَرَفُعِ عَنِ الْعِبَادَةِ كَمَالًا بَلْ هُوَ النَّقْصُ بِعَيْنِهِ And let no one think that raising Jesus above his status or any of the creation which Allah has given them or that person being in no need of ibadah, of that being a form of perfection. Rather, this is exactly and the epitome of deficiency. You know, because we got some Sufis. You know the Sufis, huh? You guys know the Sufis? Some of these Sufis, man, they got tired of worship. They got tired of worship. So they had to think of a plan to claim sainthood without having to engage in acts of worship. So they bring an ayah from the Quran. Pay attention now to this sickness. Huh? They bring an ayah from the Quran, which says, وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ So worship your Lord until yaqeen comes to you. طيب. The word yaqeen fundamentally means certainty. Certainty. However, death is also called certainty because death is certain. So when you refer to the tafsir of the ulama, the sahaba and the tabi'een, you find that they all agree that yaqeen means death. Worship your Lord until death comes to you. And stay in the state of worship until you die. But when the Sufi wanted to find an outlet, he said the ayah means that keep worshipping your Lord until you reach the level of certainty in Iman. And I have reached the level of certainty. And Allah said, continue to worship until you reach that point. Afterwards, you don't have to do ibadah anymore. So khalas, I'm done. Now you go pray, you go fast, you go do hajj. It's not needed for me anymore because I've already attained yaqeen. And the ayah said, continue to worship hatta until you reach yaqeen, I reach yaqeen. Isn't that beautiful? That's how they try to misinterpret the book of Allah for their favor and advantage. So then And then the idea of someone thinking, wallah, I'm so good that I don't need to do ibadah anymore. The Shaykh said, this is not any form of perfection. This is the epitome of deficiency. Because had this been a valid point, then who was the one with the most yaqeen in Allah? The Prophet ﷺ. Did he ever stop? Then, يعني, kalam fadi. It's just nonsense. Ajeeb. Ajeeb. وَهُوَ مَحَلُّ الذَّمِّ وَالْعِقَابِ. And not only it is the epitome of deficiency, but it is an area of blameworthy and punishment. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَمَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَيَسْتَكْبِرْ فَسَيَحْشُرُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ جَمِيعًا. So whoever is proud to enslave himself or to worship him and is arrogant, then verily I shall gather them all of them unto myself. أي فَسَيَحْشُرُ الْخَلْقَ كُلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ الْمُسْتَنْكِفِينَ وَالْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ وَعِبَادِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then Allah will gather all of them to himself. The proud and the arrogant and the believing slaves. فيحكم بينهم بحكمه العدل وجزائه الفضل. Then Allah Azza wa Jal shall judge between them according to His just ruling and judgment, and His virtuous and bountiful recompense. His bountiful recompense, meaning when He gives someone, He gives them a lot or a little. When Allah gives, does He give a lot or a little to the believers? A lot. One good deed is equal to how much minimum? Am I speaking Chinese here today? What's going on here, man? One good deed is equal to how many good deeds? Minimum? 10. Sah? Are you guys in doubt or something? What happened to the yaqeen? One is equal to 10 minimum. Up to what? Up to 700. Up to what? Unlimited. Allah may multiply to whomever He wills, unlimited. Unlimited number of deeds. This is by doing only one good deed. Minimum 10. Salah, in the Isra and Mi'raj, in the night journey, in the ascension. Huh? So you should know the translation, Isra and Mi'raj. Sah? You hear all the time, Isra and Mi'raj. And we don't know how to translate it, so we say Isra and Mi'raj in English. Isra is the night journey, and Mi'raj is the ascension. أُسْرِيَ بِهِ مِنْ الْحَرَمِ إِلَى بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ ثُمَّ عُرِجَ بِهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. طيب. So he was gone. He left on a night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then he was ascended onto the Samawat. نعم. عليه الصلاة والسلام. So there Allah prescribed the salawat 50. 50 times a day we were supposed to pray. 50. Then when he went back and he came across Musa alayhi salam, he said, "Mada amaruka rabbuk?" What did your Lord command you? He told him 50. He said, "Go back and ask your Lord to reduce it, because your people will not be able to handle it. I've tried Bani Israel, they will not be able to handle it." So he went back, and then it was reduced and reduced until it finally became 5. And Allah Azza wa Jal said in that hadith, the Qudsi, that 5 with the ajr of 50. And there's nothing that will change my word and decree. So 5 prayers equal to 50 in ajr, which are the 5 prayers which we pray every day and night. So Allah gives a lot, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah 173. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُوَفِّيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْتَنْكَفُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فَيُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا ولا يجدون لهم من دون الله وليا ولا نصيرا. As for those who believe and do righteous deeds, then verily He shall recompense them their rewards, and He shall increase them of His bounty. And as for those who are proud and arrogant, then He will punish them a severe punishment, and they will not find besides Him, besides Allah, no protector and no helper. No protector, no friend, no ally, and no helper. The Shaykh said, ثُمَّ فَصَّلَ حُكْمَهُ فِيهِمْ. Then Allah detailed His ruling or His judgment in regards to them. فَقَالَ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَيْ جَمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْإِيمَانِ الْمَأْمُورِ بِهِ وَعَمَلِ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ وَاجِبَاتٍ وَمُسْتَحَبَّاتٍ مِنْ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ وَحُقُوقِ عِبَادِهِ. As for those then who believe and do righteous deeds. Meaning they combined Iman, which was commanded, along with the doing of righteousness, be it obligatory or recommended, in regards to the rights of Allah and the rights of the slaves of Allah. فَيُوَفِيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ He will recompense them fully. أي الأجور التي رتبها على الأعمال كلهم بحسب إيمانه وعمله. Meaning he will give them the reward which is associated with their deeds, each according to his level of Iman and the nature of his deed. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ And he will increase them of his bounty. من الثواب الذي لم تنله أعمالهم ولم تصل إليه أفعالهم ولم يخطر على قلوبهم سبحان الله And Allah Azza wa Jal will give him more of the ajr which they were not able to attain through by virtue of their deeds alone and their actions did not reach that level nor did it even come across their hearts يعني what the ayah is saying here That there are certain people, as the ulama say, if Allah Azza wa Jal wants to place this slave of his in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. Tayyib. But if you look at this, the slave's deeds, huh? His deeds, are not ones which will land you in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. For you to be in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la, you gotta be some real special stuff. Huh? Fasting all day and praying all night and good character and this and this and that and so on and so forth. Of course, and mind you, the hadith that verily the slave will attain through his good character the position of the person who fasts all day and prays all night. This to show you how important it is to have good characters. And we all fall short, at least speaking of myself in this regard. But at least as a reminder to work on our behavior, our conduct with the people. One of us is able to attain the level of the one who fasts every day, all day. And he prays every night, all night. He doesn't have to pray all night, nor fast all day, but he has a good character. That's it. He's nice with the people. Cool and easy and everything. Sometimes you have to be firm. It depends on the situation. But generally, they're cool. So, this is a big ni'mah from Allah. So if Allah anyways wants to give a slave that firdaus, and the slave hasn't done what will grant him firdaus, Allah Azza wa Jal will test him and make him go through some things in life which will multiply his reward so that he lands over there even though his deeds were not sufficient to land him there. So he may get in some hardship in life, loss of wealth, loss of loved ones, huh? Trials, tribulations. Allah knows what it is. Allah knows what it is. If he's patient, then Allah will give him this tremendous reward on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, even though he did not acquire it merely by his deeds. That's a big ni'mah from Allah. And one of the most effective ways to be able to get that opportunity is da'wah. Da'wah. Huh? Because you yourself may be يعني, moderate in your ibadah. But the da'wah you give to the people, that's your investment right there. That's your investment right there. Because you address 5 people, 10 people, 50 people, 100 people, 1,000 people. If everyone changes something for the sake of Allah, and you are the reason behind that change, you are getting everybody's reward. Everybody's reward. And so the slave will come on Yawm Al-Qiyamah and he will find mountains of good deeds. Mountains of good deeds. Like the mountains of Tihama. He will say, oh Allah, where did this come from? I know myself. Huh? I did not do this. And it will be said, this is because of the Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an Munkar. This is because of what you had done. And another hadith that mentions that this is because of the dua of your children for you after your death. Righteous child making dua for you, doing sadaqah jari on your behalf. You benefit somehow from the deeds you do after you pass away. So never miss out on an opportunity to give da'wah. Never avoid enjoining what is good, forbidden, what is evil. You never know. See someone smoking, huh? Give him a minute of your time and try to give him a small nasiha. And I can share with you something that I usually use, which may be effective with you if you want to try it, just so you can have, because it's really tough to stop someone and you know, talk to them about smoking, while they're smoking. Sometimes I do crazy things like last night, because you know, it depends on the position you have. Now, the people have the position, oh, this is a da'i, this is someone. And so I went to this istiraha, they were Christians, Filipino Christians, and we're giving them da'wah. And when I walked in at the entrance, there were 2 Indian brothers, and one of them had a cigarette in his hand. So when he saw me, he got shy. And he tried to hide it between his two fingers, you know, inwardly. I said, "Oh, you're smoking?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Let me see the cigarette." I said, "Let me see the cigarette." So look how, subhanAllah, it was in his left hand, so he wanted to be on the sunnah to give it to me in the right hand. Huh? So he moved the cigarette from the left hand to the right hand. I was like, wow, yani, how amazing. So I took it from him, and I threw it on the floor, and I stepped on it. He started laughing. He started laughing. Why? I know that in this predicament, in this scenario, I can do this. And I can do it in a light heart, in a joking manner. Now you go see someone walking down the street, huh? And try to pull the same stunt, and you will get beat up. So this doesn't work all the time with everybody. It depends on who you're dealing with. So I threw it. I said, "I only did this because I love you. Huh? Don't get upset. I only did this." He said, "Yes, I know. Zakallah khair." Psh, done. But that's not how I usually do it. Usually, I learned this from another brother. He said, when you want to see someone smoking and you want to advise him without being offensive, you tell him, of course in Arabic, you know, صحتك غالي علينا, but in English, your health is important for me. Your well-being is something that I value. So, you know, you're harming your health. So this first calms him down. Instead of them being, you know, reacting in a negative way, it calms him down. Then you say, "أخي العزيز, يعني أنت, you're harming yourself and you're wasting your money and you're harming the Muslims around you, and there's absolutely no benefit in the cigarette." Now, the person who's not arrogant, who's humble, the first thing he will tell you is, "Make dua for me. Huh? I want to stop. Wallahi, I want to stop, but I'm unable to stop." And then I will tell him, "You're wrong. Stop this. I tell him, "You're wrong. You don't want to stop." He say, "No, wallah, I want to stop." I said, "No, you don't want to stop." He said, "Ya akhi, enta." I said, "I'm giving you an example. I'm going to give you an example." He said, "Okay, go ahead." I said, "Let's say that a doctor came and run some tests on your lungs and everything. And then according to the results, he found out that if you smoke one more cigarette, you will die. And the doctor came to you and said, 'Look, if you smoke one more cigarette, you will die.' I said, 'You're one of two people, either suicidal, then there's no point in having discussion, or you want to live. If the doctor told you one more cigarette, you will die. Will you smoke or not?' He said, 'No, I will stop.' I said, 'That's it.' See? But when the doctor tells you, don't kill yourself, you trust him. But when Allah told you before that in the Quran, 'Wala taqtulu anfusakum,' you didn't listen to Allah. So you love the dunya more than Allah. And you love the cigarette more than Allah. I'm not trying to burn you out here. I'm just telling you some facts. We all have weakness in iman. But that's what it boils down to. Because Allah told you before the doctor, you didn't listen. But if the doctor told you will die, you will quit on the spot. Once you agreed with me that you could quit to save your life, then you could quit now to save your deen. Shh. Done. Move away. Now you may think this took 1 minute or 2 minutes. This person may go home and start thinking about it. Wallahi, this guy is right. Wallahi, I'm going to quit smoking. And you break the pack of cigarettes, and he will stop smoking and save all the people around you, and all of this in your book of deeds. You didn't do anything. Just said a few words and a couple of things. Shh, done. Amar bil ma'roof, nahi al munkar. What will the shaitan tell you? Mind your business, ya akhi, enta, you're nosy. People are going to say you get into everyone's business, blah, blah, blah. I give you 800 excuses why you should leave the people alone. So you leave them alone, and they remain deviant, and you miss out on the ajr, and you didn't do the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal in terms of enjoining the good, forbidden the evil. So the whole ummah pays the consequences of our negligence and our shortcomings. So, anytime you're given a chance to give da'wah, don't deprive yourself before others of the nasiha. Huh? This is the minimum requirement for a Muslim. Bismillah. Of course, the same goes for the right hand, the left hand. See someone drinking with the left hand, right hand, say, "Brother, right, yameen, barakallah feek." Huh? With a smile. The yameen. Now, most people, from what I found, most people, huh, he will have it with the left hand. He say, "Brother bil yameen," he will say, and he will drink in the left hand in spite of you. A'udhu billah. This one amazes me. Few people have actually said jazakallah khair and moved. Most people are arrogant, prideful. Say, "Yes, who cares? I drink and eat with whatever hand I want." Yeah, that's what you think. Type. I went off the subject, but hey, that's what you're here for. So we continue here with the sharah of the Shaykh. نعم ويزيده من فضله نعم we mentioned that ودخل في ذلك كل ما في الجنة من المآكل والمشارب والمناكح شيل والمناظر والسرور ونعيم القلب والروح والروح والنعيم ونعيم البدن. طيب, included in that, of that surplus of the ajr and the bounty of Allah upon the slave, the Shaykh said everything which is in Jannah is included. Of ma'akil. What is ma'akil? Ma'akil. What does that mean? From akil. What does akil mean? Akil food. Akil food. Ta'am, of course. Ta'am. And then local dialect, akil. But the verb is ya'kulu ta'am. It's in the Quran. Sahih? Al-anbiya kanu ya'kulun ta'am. Allah said about Isa وأمه كانا يأكلان الطعام. Jesus and Mary, both of them used to eat food. They used to eat food. يأكلاني. Huh? So this is a sign that they're not divine. والمشارب. مشارب. شرب. We have to work on our vocabulary, يا جماعة. Vocabulary. مأكل. Plural of akil, which is that foodstuff. Masharib, plural of shurb, which is that which you drink, or sharab, huh? Sharab. Wa manakih. Aywa. Manakih from yankih, nakaha, which is basically the good stuff. Huh? Aywa, hur al-ayn, shughl mazboot, everything in Jannah. That's what most people are looking forward to, by the way. Wal manadir, and the sights, huh, like sightseeing. Was surur, and the joy. Wa na'im al-qalb, and the happiness of the heart. Wa ruh, and the soul. Wa na'im al-badan, and the physical joy. So there's a physical joy and spiritual joy and all kinds of joys in Jannah. Women, you know, khamr, sahih. Wine that does not intoxicate someone so that they start, you know, babbling in Jannah and start fighting with the people next door and everything. None of that stuff, huh? Just in case someone said, yeah, I got too drunk with the khamr. No, Habib, you drink as much as you want, you're going to be fine. You eat and eat and eat. Now, do you get fat? Nowadays, we have to watch your weight, huh? Oh, this cheesecake looks good, man, but I know if I eat this, I'm done. I've been working on a diet, blah, blah, blah. In Jannah, you don't have to worry about that stuff. You eat and then you sweat. And when you sweat, it smells like perfume, and all of the food which you eat will be digested in this fashion. So there's no defecation, no urination. You eat whatever you want, it will become sweat, and the sweat smells like perfume. And it's amazing stuff, huh? Yes?
Speaking about Jannah, so everyone has to get at least
two hur al-ayn. This is adhaful iman, for the weakest of faith, the one who barely makes it. Now, the more righteous, the more ladies one will have. That's why the shaheed will have 70.
Maximum
70. La la la. Allahu alam. Allah gives to him every he wills. Huh? Maybe even it falls under what you ask for, because anything you ask for in Jannah, you'll be given. So it could be that you're given two by default, then you can ask for more. Yeah. But even let's say one is given one, that one will be plenty in terms of her beauty and her this and that. She's always a virgin. Even after a person, you know, goes through the process of deflowering, as they say, or de-virginizing, she goes back to becoming a virgin again. So it's the same sensation over and over again, assuming that there's only one. Yani, worst case scenario. But it's more than that. Hey, listen, man, we can't get into that in depth. Tell you.
Also, your wife becomes...
Yeah, the wife, if she makes it to Jannah, she'll be the boss. She'll be the princess in comparison to the Hur al-Ain. She'll be above them in status, because she earned Jannah with her deeds. And these ladies were created in Jannah without doing anything. So obviously working for it will give you a privilege over those who don't work for it. Nah. But there will be no jealousy or anything of the sort. So it's not going to be an issue where there will be a conflict between them. Everybody's happy with everybody. Because the way we feel now, Allah Azza wa Jal will remove this from the children of Adam before they are admitted to paradise. So now women think, well, I'm going to be upset because my husband's going to have hur'in, blah, blah, blah. This is how you feel now. You're not going to feel like this in paradise. Allah will not make this feeling exist. See, who's the one who makes us feel this way now? Allah. He made this part of son of Adam. Before they enter paradise, they go through a purification method, wherein all of these feelings will be emitted. No hatred, no jealousy, no envy, no nothing. All of that will be taken away.
It's another world, sir.
Huh?
Another world, yes.
It's another world, yes. May Allah grant us Jannah. Tayyib. Yeah, boy.
We have to sit prayer Jum'ah, Allah yarda alayk.
In regards to you will be with your family, like your descendants and so forth. What about brothers and sisters that you meet? I mean, not sisters, but brothers that you meet here in the Jannah. I mean, here in the earth.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Allah said, "Ikhwanun ala sururin mutaqabilin." Brothers on couches reclining, and they're facing each other. So, and we have many ayat and ahadith about the believers will say, for example, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, "Oh Allah, brothers of ours who used to pray with us and used to fast with us, and we don't see us among them, but who would have been admitted to hellfire." So Allah will give the believers shafa'ah. They will go and intercede for these brothers of theirs, and they will pull them out of Jahannam and bring them with them into Jannah. So people will be able to communicate and be with each other, unless someone makes it to a high position in Jannah while the other one is low, then Allah knows how the situation will be. But fundamentally, people will be meeting again over there in a whole different platform. Now, بَلْ يَدْخُلُ فِي ذَلِكَ كُلُّ خَيْرٍ دِينِي وَدُنْيَوِي رُتِّبَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَالْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. Sheikh said, rather every goodness, whether it is religious or worldly, which is associated or a byproduct of iman and amal salih, and righteous deeds is included in that. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْتَنْكَفُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا أَيْ عَنْ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. As for those who were proud and arrogant, and meaning in regards to the worship of Allah, فَيُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. This is the opposite now. They will be punished, a humiliating or a painful punishment. عَفْوًا. وَهُوَ سَخَطُ اللَّهِ وَغَضَبُهُ وَالنَّارُ الْمُوقَدَ الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. And that would be the anger of Allah and His wrath and the fire which is lit that will be reaching into the hearts of the people. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةً فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدًا. المهم, النار تطلع على الأفيدة, as the ulama explain, meaning the fire is so severe that it will burn through the person's chest and it will go all the way into the person's heart. So that the punishment is not merely for the skin, it is not only the roasting of the skin, which we know will be, بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ. As Allah said in the Quran, we will replace their skin with another skin so they may taste the punishment again. Huh? Because when you burn to a certain degree, as the scientists say, the cells themselves, which provide you with the feeling of pain, will die. And so that's why after someone is burned to a particular degree, they no longer feel the pain of the fire, because the cells which feel pain are dead. You're left with blood. And the blood is not going to feel the pain of burning. It's the skin that does. But not only the skin, it makes it all the way to the heart. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. Nor will they find besides Allah or beneath or besides Allah Azza wa Jal a protector or a helper. أَيْ لَا يَجِدُونَ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْخَلْقِ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَيَحْصُلَ لَهُمْ الْمَطْلُوبِ. They will not find any of the creation who will be their allies, and so that they will be able to attain what is desired. وَلَا مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُمْ فَيَدْفَعُ عَنْهُمُ الْمَرْهُوبِ. Nor will they find anyone who will aid them and help them so that he will protect them from that which they are avoiding. بَلْ قَدْ تَخَلَّ عَنْهُمْ أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي عَذَابِهِمْ خَالِدِينَ. Rather, the most merciful of those who are merciful has abandoned them and he has left them in the punishment eternally. وَمَا حَكَمَ بِهِ تَعَالَى فَلَا رَادَّ لِحُكْمِهِ وَلَا مُغَيِّرَ لِقَضَائِهِ. And whatever he judges the exalted, then there is no one to return or reject that ruling or that judgment, and there is no one who will change the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is the end result of these particular individuals in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ayah 174. يا أيها الناس قد جاءكم برهان من ربكم وأنزلنا لكم نورا مبينا فأما الذين وأنزلنا إليك إليكم أو جزاك الله خير وأنزلنا إليكم نورا مبينا فأما الذين آمنوا بالله واعتصموا به فسيدخلهم في رحمة منه وفضل ويهديهم إليه صراطا مستقيما. O mankind, there has come unto you a proof from your Lord, and we have sent down to you a clear light. A clear light. The Sheikh said, يمتن تعالى على سائر الناس بما أوصل إليه من البراهين القاطعة والأنوار الساطعة. Allah reminds the people of His favor upon them in regards to what He has made them attain of the براهين قاطعة, يعني the indisputable proofs, والأنوار الساطعة, and the illuminating light. وَيُقِيمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْحُجَّةِ, and Allah establishes the proof and evidence against them. وَيُوَضِّحْ لَهُمُ الْمَحَجَّةِ, and Allah Azza wa Jal clarifies for them that context of that proof. فقال يا أيها الناس قد جاءكم برهان من ربكم, O mankind, there has come unto you a proof from your Lord. أي حجج قاطعة على الحق تبينه وتوضحه وتبين ضده, meaning proofs that are in, that are indisputable, leading towards the truth, alaykum salam, clarifying the truth and clarifying its opposite. وهذا يشمل الأدلة العقلية والنقلية, and this includes both the intellectual and the textual evidences. This includes the intellectual and the textual evidences, meaning in the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal, there's a text which proves a particular point, and in the intellect, the reason which Allah has created us with is in agreement and harmonious with these texts. الآيات الأفقية والنفسية. Similarly, the signs. أفقية, what does أفقية mean? أفقية. أفق, في الأفق, في الآفاق, horizon, horizon, والنفسية, and the personal, mental, internal آيات, which you find within yourselves. As Allah said, سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق. We shall show them our signs and the horizons and in themselves until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. وفي قوله من ربكم ما يدل على شرف هذا البرهان وعظمته. In the statement of Allah, برهان من ربكم, a proof from your Lord, the Shaykh said this is an indication about the virtue of this particular burhan, this evidence, this proof, and its greatness. Why? Because it's from your Lord. حيث كان من ربكم الذي رباكم التربية الدينية والدنيوية, because it is from your Lord who has raised you. Ayah 174, Surah An-Nisa. Who has raised you in and looked after you in the matters of religion and the matters of the worldly life, meaning Allah is the one who gave us the knowledge of this deen and He allowed us to practice it and worship Him, and it's Allah who gave us all the sustenance of the world which we have. فمن تربيته لكم التي يحمد عليها ويشكر أن أوصل إليكم البينات ليهديكم بها إلى الصراط المستقيم والوصول إلى جنات النعيم. From among then, the things which the special attention given to Allah Azza wa Jal to us, which we should praise, or which He is praised for and thanked for, is that He has delivered unto you the proofs through which you are guided to the straight path, and through which you are able to attain it, to the attain the gardens of delight. والوصول إلى جنات النعيم. وأنزل إليكم نورا مبينا وهو هذا القرآن العظيم. And He has sent down upon you an illuminating or a clear light. The Shaykh said this is that great Quran. That نور, النور المبين, is the Quran. الذي قد اشتمل على علوم الأولين والآخرين والأخبار الصادقة النافعة والأمر بكل عدل وإحسان وخير والنهي عن كل ظلم وشر. This Quran, which contains the knowledge of the first and the last, and the truthful information, the beneficial, commanding every form of justice and excellence and goodness, and prohibiting every form of oppression and evil. فَالنَّاسُ فِي ظُلْمَةٍ إِن لَمْ يَسْتَيْضِئُوا بِأَنْوَارِهِ. Then the people are verily in the state of darkness if they don't seek light through the light of the Qur'an. If they don't seek the light through the Qur'an. وَفِي شَقَاءٍ عَظِيمٍ إِن لَمْ يَقْتَبِسُوا مِنْ خَيْرِهِ. And they would be in this great state of wretchedness if they do not deduce or if they do not acquire some of its good. And the biggest evidence is the lecture we had last night with these Christians. Huh? There were many Christians and Hindus and Buddhists. And we were giving them a talk about the Prophet Muhammad and the attack against him, and how this is means for them to learn about him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them this opportunity to learn about the Prophet through an evil event wherein he was mocked in this video by these wicked creatures, the Coptic Christians. Anyways, so I said during the talk, I said, so, can any Christian here quote one verse from the Bible? Anyone? No hands raised. Anyone, one verse? One. Give me any verse in the Bible. Any Christian? No answer. No answer. So, it was made, this is their Bible. Their book of guidance. No one knows one verse. I said, Muslims, can any Muslim here quote one ayah of the Quran? Huh? Everybody said, yes. I said, how about one chapter? Yes. Three chapters? Yes. 10 chapters? Everybody saying yes. I said, any of you in Arab? No. And the Quran is in what? Arabic. So how is it that we have all these non-Arabs memorizing chapters from the Quran in Arabic, and you people can't give me one verse from your own book in your own language? Yani, isn't that a sign? Everybody's silent. Then later on in the lecture, the one Christian wanted to get, you know, philosophical, as they say, as usual. You always find this one guy who gets heated up, you know, during your talk. You see him, he's upset because he's being smashed. He doesn't return it, so he's talking to his friend the whole time, you know, trying to find something to be, you know, that he doesn't like what's going on. So he's trying to be a troublemaker. We let him be a troublemaker. So then they wanted to make a mention of the Bible. And I said, no, so I mean, he said, what is your Quran? Huh? Do you have the same, you know, in the Quran, how many versions do you have? We don't have any versions. We have one version. You know, you guys have a Catholic Bible with the 73 books and a Protestant with 66 books, and one will have the word begotten and one will take out the word begotten, then you revise it and you edit and you remove and edit. We don't have any of this problem. We have one single Quran for everyone that everyone can refer to anywhere you go in the world. And then I said, I'll give you an example. I can make one mistake now. I'm deliberately, this was live. Next to me is a brother. I told him, I'm deliberately going to read an ayah from the middle of the Quran, which 90% of the people here don't know. I'm not going to use Fatiha. And I'm going to make a mistake deliberately in the vowel. Instead of saying an E, I'm going to say an A. Or instead of an U, I'm going to say an whatever. I'm going to change a vowel, not a word. And what this brother, whether he knows this ayah or not, he's going to correct me. So you ready? And everybody's like on their toes. Even the brother got scared. He's like, man, this guy put me on the spot. Because if he doesn't know, he's going to be in trouble. But I know that he's going to know because he knows Arabic. He knows grammar. And that ayah, grammatically, it will not make sense unless you make the right vowel. So I said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهُ. The word is laha. I said, Allahu min ibadil ulama. Two brothers at the same time, the one next to me and the one over there, said, Allaha, in front of the Christians. I said, did you see that now? I said, we didn't plan this before, by the way. This was done because you asked this question. So I quote one verse from this whole Quran, from the middle, and two people correct me on the spot because of a vowel. So what do you have to offer, my friend? Shh. Silence. Alhamdulillah, one guy, his name is Andy. He's this close to Islam. This close to Islam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide him. But I'm saying this because this is a manifestation of this ayah. This explanation of the Shaykh. That if they don't, they are in darkness unless they seek through the light of the Quran. Huh? And they will be in the state of wretchedness unless they get some of the goodness contained therein. The Christians will never have a unified aqidah as long as the Bible is their reference. As long as the Bible is their reference, you will have Unitarian Christians and Trinitarian Christians, and those who believe he got married and those who believe he didn't get married. Those who believe that the disciples were around him when he was crucified and those who say they ran away. Hundreds of interpretations, nothing that you can agree about in Christianity. Why? Because their book is not reliable. It's not reliable. The Quran will solve their problem. It tells you everything you need to know. Who Jesus is, who his mother is, that he was never crucified, that he never died, that Allah raised him unto himself. It's clear aqidah. Clear aqidah. No dispute, no multiple interpretations. Wallah al-musta'an walhamdulillah ala al-Quran. Ayah 175, I already read it in Arabic. As for those who believe in Allah and they hold on to him, subhanah, he shall admit them to his mercy, to a mercy from him, and a bounty, and he will guide them onto himself a straight path. The Shaykh said, وَلَكِنْ إِنْقَصَمَ النَّاسُ بِحَسَبِ الْإِيمَانِ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَالْإِنْتِفَاعِ بِهِ قِسْمَيْنِ. However, the people were divided in regards to their iman in the Qur'an and benefiting from the Qur'an into two groups. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ. The first one are those who believed in Allah. أَيْ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِوُجُودِهِ وَاتِّصَافِهِ بِكُلِّ وَصْفٍ كَامِلٍ وَتَنْزِيٍ عَنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ وَعَيْبٍ. They admitted the existence of Allah and him being attributed or him being described with every quality and attribute of perfection and being high and above any deficiency and any deficiency. وَاَعْتَصَمُوا بِهِ أَيْ لَجَوْا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاَعْتَمَدُوا عَلَيْهِ وَتَبَرَّؤُوا مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ وَقُوَّتِهِمْ وَاسْتَعَانُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. Meaning they took refuge with their Lord and they relied upon him and they freed themselves from their depending on their own abilities and their own power and they sought aid from their Lord. فَسَيُدْخِلُهُمْ فِي رَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهِ وَفَضْلٍ. فِي رَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ. He will admit them into a mercy from himself and a virtue and a bounty. أي فَسَيَتَغَمَّدَهُمْ بِالرَّحْمَةِ الْخَاصَّةِ. So he will encompass them with this special kind of mercy. فَيُوَفِّقُهُمْ لِلْخَيْرَاتِ. He will grant them the tawfiq, the success to do good. وَيُجْزِلُ لَهُمُ الْمَثُوبَاتِ. And he will increase their reward. وَيَدْفَعُ عَنْهُمُ الْبَلِيَّاتِ وَالْمَكْرُوَاتِ. And he will protect them from all kinds of trials and that which they dislike. وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَيْهِ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And he will guide them onto himself on a straight path. أَيْ يُوَفِّقَهُمْ لِلْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ. He will guide them to knowledge and action. مَعْرِفَةَ الْحَقِّ وَالْعَمَلِ بِهِ. Knowing the truth and acting according to it. أي وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْتَصِمْ بِهِ. We understand from this مفهوم المخالفة. The opposite understanding is the one who doesn't believe in Allah and does not seek refuge with him. وَيَتَمَسَّكْ بِكِتَابِهِ. And he does not hold on to his book. مَنَعَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. Allah will prevent them of having his mercy. وَحَرَمَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah will prevent them also from his bounty. وَخَلَّى بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will let them deal with themselves. Yani he will not protect them from the evil of themselves. We say in Khutbat al-Haja, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our soul. So Allah will not become one who will protect them from the evil of our souls. He will let them go deal with themselves. And you know, النَّفْسُ أَمَّارَةُ بِالسُّءِ. The soul commands evil. The soul commands evil unless Allah protects someone. Sahih? Yani sometimes you are in a position and a predicament of a serious fitna, specifically with women. You know, you may wind up going to a place or you may be in a situation where you are in seclusion with women and the shaitan will ride you, man. The shaitan will ride your brain, you'll go crazy. You start thinking all kinds of things that you know you're not supposed to do. And if Allah does not protect you from acting upon these satanic thoughts, we will be destroyed. So who will prevent? We know that this is haram, even though the soul is calling you. Huh? Especially if the lady is in agreement with that. You'll go crazy unless Allah protects you. That's why Yusuf alayhi salam, he was in a very tough situation. He said, إِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Unless protect me from their plot, I will incline towards them, and I will be from the jahileen. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And he was on the verge of going with this lady, امرأة العزيز. Had Allah Azza wa Jalla not protected him. So who is the one who protects us from falling into evil when in that situation? Allah. If Allah does not help us, we will destroy ourselves. The soul itself is calling, inviting, the shayateen are inviting. So unless there's iman, which will tell the person, no, there's a consequence for this, there's a punishment for this, you may go astray after this, you may wind up in Jahannam after this, unless we bring to mind all of these and then we seek refuge with Allah, we're destroyed. So if Allah allows these people to go with themselves, khalas, no one can do anything. They will fall into all kinds of trials and temptations. نسأل الله تعالى العافية وحرمهم من فضله. نعم فلم يهتدوا. So because of that, they are not guided. بل ضلوا ضلالا مبينا. Rather, they went far, clearly astray. عقوبة لهم على ترك الإيمان. تركهم الإيمان. This is a punishment for them because they have abandoned faith in the beginning. فحصلت لهم الخيبة والحرمان. So they got nothing out of this except disappointment and deprivation. نسأل الله تعالى العفو والعافية والمعافاة. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to pardon us and to protect us and to keep us protected. I think we should finish this surah, huh? We only have one ayah left. Barakallah fikum. Allah Azza wa Jal says, يستفتونك قل الله يفتيكم في الكلالة إن امرؤ هلك ليس له ولد وله أخت فلها نصف ما ترك وهو يرثها إن لم يكن لها ولد فإن كانت اثنتين فلهما الثلثان مما ترك وإن كانوا إخوة رجالا ونساء فللذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين يبين الله لكم أن تضلوا والله بكل شيء عليم. Quito, wake up and read the English please of ayah 176.
Say, Allah directs those above Al-Qalala, those who live neither descendant nor ascendant as heirs. If it is a man that dies leaving a sister, but no child, she shall have half the inheritance. If such a sister was a human who left no child, a brother makes her inheritance. If there are two sisters, they shall have two-thirds of the inheritance. If there are brothers and sisters, the male will have twice the share of the female. Thus does Allah make clear to you, Islam, lest you go astray, and Allah is the one knower of everything.
بارك الله فيك. The Shaykh says, أخبر تعالى أن الناس استفتوا رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي في الكلالة بدليل قوله قل الله يفتيكم في الكلالة. Allah tells us that the people had asked the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in regards to الكلالة, and the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. So and الكلالة, because of the evidence of the statement of Allah, say Allah will give you the fatwa in regards to the كلالة. And this is important. I remember once I was giving a talk or something of the sort, and I said, you know, this is the fatwa of Allah, man. This is the fatwa of Allah. And a brother came and said, Akhi, what do you mean the fatwa? You cannot say this fatwa of Allah. You know, in his mind that a person gives the fatwa. And so I said, here it's important to know the Quran. And he's a student of knowledge. Even though he's a student of knowledge, this one missed him. I said, Allah says in the Quran, قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ. Say, Allah gives you the fatwa himself. So I said, and Allah said in the Quran, he attributed the term fatwa to himself. He was like, oh, subhanAllah. Sahih. Khalas, once you quote the Quran, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. So the fatwa, this is from Allah. Allah gives. They ask you in regards to kalala, say, Allah will give you the fatwa. قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِي الْكَلَالَ. What is kalala? هو الميت يموت وليس له ولد صلب ولا ولد ابن ولا أب ولا جد. It's the person who dies and he does not have a son, nor a grandson, nor a father, nor a grandfather. ولهذا قال إن امرؤ هلك ليس له ولد. If a man dies and he doesn't have a son, أي لا ذكر ولا أنثى, nor a boy, neither a boy nor a girl, male or female, I'm sorry. لا ولد صلب ولا ولد ابن. Doesn't have a children, not from his own, not from marriage. وكذلك ليس له والد, nor does he have a father, بدليل أنه ورث فيه الإخوة والأخوات, by virtue of evidence that those who will receive inheritance will be brothers and sisters, meaning he doesn't have a father, otherwise his father will get part of the inheritance. بالإجماع لا يرثون مع الوالد. And according to consensus, if a father is there, then they will not be able to get inheritance with the presence of the father. فَإِذَا هَلَكَ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ وَلَا وَلَدٌ. So if a person dies and he neither has a son nor does he have a father. No son, no father. وَلَهُ أُخْتٌ. But he has a sister. أي شَقِيقَةٌ لِأَبٍ أو شَقِيقَةٌ أو لِأَبٍ لَا لِأُمْ. Which is his sister from his father, not from his mother. يعني not from his mother, maybe previous marriage or marriage afterwards. فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ تَقَدَّمَ حُكْمُهَا. The ruling thereof has been mentioned before in Surah An-Nisa. فَلَهَا نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكْ. She will have half of what he leaves behind. أي نصف متروكات أخيها من نقود وعقار وأثاث وغير ذلك. She will have half of what her brother leaves behind of wealth and property and furniture and whatever else. وذلك من بعد الدين والوصية. This is after his debt is paid off or any kind of will which he has written. كما تقدم, as mentioned before. وهو أي أخوها الشقيق أو الذي للأب يرثها إن لم يكن لها ولد. And in, on the other side, if she is the one in this predicament and she dies, then he shall inherit her. He shall inherit her. نعم. ولم يقدر لها إرثا لأنه غاصب فيأخذ مالها كله. He will take all. Allah did not mention what he will take because he will take all of her wealth if she dies. إن لم يكن صاحب فرض ولا عاصب يشاركه أو ما أبقت الفروض. Unless there's another person whom Allah has given a right or a share of this inheritance. Otherwise the brother will take everything his sister leaves behind if she doesn't have a father or a son, and the same kind of formula. فإن كانتا من أي الأختان. If they were two sisters, أي فما فوق, or even more than that, فلهما الثلثان مما ترك وإن كانوا إخوة رجالا ونساء. So they will have two thirds of what he leaves behind. أي اجتمع الذكور من الإخوة لغير أم مع الإناث. This is very complicated. That's why the علم الفرائد is one of the most complicated sciences in Islam. You know, the inheritance and the division of the law of inheritance. You need a Mawlana for you to figure this out for you. على كل حال, فللذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين. The male will have a portion equal to two females. فيسقط فرض الإناث ويعصبهن إخوتهن. يبين الله لكم أن تضلوا. All of this, the conclusion is Allah clarifies these matters for you so that you do not go astray. أي يبين لكم أحكامه التي تحتاجونها ويوضحها ويشرحها لكم فضلا منه وإحسانا لكي تهتدوا ببيانه وتعلموا وتعملوا بأحكامه. Allah clarifies for you His rulings which you need, and He explains them for you as a bounty from Him and as goodness from Him, so that you may be guided through His clarification and you may act upon His rulings. ولئلا تضلوا عن الصراط المستقيم, and so that you do not deviate from the straight path, بسبب جهلكم وعدم علمكم, because of your ignorance and lack of knowledge. والله بكل شيء عليم, and Allah in regards to everything is all knowing. أي عالم الغيب عالم بالغيب والشهادة والأمور الماضية والمستقبلة. He is the knower of the unseen and that which is witnessed, and He is the knower of the matters of the past and the future. وَيَعْلَمُ حَاجَتَكُمْ إِلَى بَيَانِهِ وَتَعْلِيمِهِ. And He knows how the state of need you are in of His clarification and His knowledge and His teaching. فَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ الَّذِي يَنْفَعُكُمْ عَلَى الدَّوَامِ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَزْمِنَ وَالْأَمْكِنَ. So He will teach you of His knowledge which will benefit you always, in all times, in all places. And this is آخر تفسير سورة النساء. This is the end of the tafsir of سورة النساء. فلله الحمد والشكر. To Allah belongs all praise and gratitude and thankfulness. And by Allah's grace, we have concluded سورة النساء. And inshallah ta'ala, next week we will initiate the discussion on سورة المائدة, which is another one of the big surah of the Quran and one which contains many rulings specifically regarding the people of the book. We ask Allah to grant the success and the ability to act upon the knowledge. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.